Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 82.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
Thanks for listening in today. This episode is brought to you by Just Uno, an incredible Shopify app. Do you want your on-site lead capture to drive more revenue, delight shoppers, and convert more visitors? Then you have to check out Just Uno. They're an on-site visitor conversion platform that has been designed to help businesses like you collect more leads and take their customer journey to the next level. You want to learn even more? You should totally check out episode 21, where I've interviewed the co-founder and CEO, Eric Christensen, about how retailers can maximize their traffic and revenue and stop leaving money on the table. You know, getting the promotional strategy isn't always easy, and that's where Just Uno Plus comes in. You get exclusive access to AI-powered product recommendations, plus a dedicated conversion strategist for support and optimization. And for listeners looking to take their business to the next level, Just Uno is now offering 15% off exclusively for e-commerce Fastlane listeners. So go to justuno.com, use the coupon code Fastlane15. That will give you 15% off, and you can start optimizing your conversion rate today. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com, and you can be notified when a new show is being released. Today, I'm recording from beautiful Whistler, British Columbia with my friend, Tink Taylor, who is the co-founder and president of Dot Digital. Now, Dot Digital is a leader in omnichannel marketing automation, and their platform is referred to as Dot Digital's Engagement Cloud. And it's a platform for businesses that are seeking to engage customers across all touch points and all life cycles. And they've got over 4,000 successful brands in 150 countries are using their platform to acquire, convert, and retain customers. I'm super excited to dive in today into the mind of a founder, a friend, and now a global company. And we're going to see what sets Dot Digital apart from others in the industry. So hi, Tink, and welcome to the first ever Whistler edition of E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me onto your podcast.
My pleasure, too. I've been syncing calendars for over a year, and we were finally able to record today. And so let's talk about how I'm able to record this episode in person, actually. Like, why do I have the opportunity to sit beside you today and actually record?
It is a remarkable thing. In my role, as you know, I spend a lot of my time traveling around the world. We're a global company now, so I attend many conferences. I see our key partners, our key vendors. So I spend probably 6 months of my life on a plane. So I'm not often here, and I know you're local. You're only just down the road, and we've been talking about this for about a year.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I'm at a Dot Digital event that is in my hometown. So I moved to Whistler maybe 3 years ago. It's an ideal location for me. I love everything that Whistler has to offer. It's on the West Coast. So I can get up early, 6 o'clock in the morning, talk to London if I need to. New York comes online at 9. I can have the middle of the day maybe to have some fun. LA office now has ruined that. But then I come off the mountain maybe, and then Sydney, Melbourne, Singapore office now then kicks in. So yeah. I have long hours, but I get time in the middle of the day. So myself and Johnny, who heads up the partnership team here in North America, we've been talking about doing a partner conference for some time. We've had partner conferences in London. Obviously, we were founded over here. You can tell by the accent. Our partner summit is coming up in early July, and we get like 3,000 people there. So we need to start doing stuff more internationally. Our growth internationally is off the charts. Right. So me and Johnny have said, like, we know Whistler will work, but me living here, it would be a bit self-serving to enforce that. So we've been seeding thoughts, and the partner network have said, Tink, please put an event in Whistler. But eventually the marketing team got wind of that, and they came to me and said, I think we should be doing an event for partners in Whistler. I went, well, that's a good idea.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, hopefully you've had a fantastic day. I mean, it wasn't about just coming in and having a good time. We talked a lot about ourselves this morning, what we were doing with our platform, what we do with our services, and we're having an end of the song. Afternoon, we had some industry people talking talk about the current trends, and then we had some really inspiring thought leader pieces from very, very, very successful entrepreneurs, and then finished with our keynote, who's the best snowboarder of all time. I love the fact that Sean White used to babysit his kids.
Yeah, I heard that. That's a good one.
And but also a serial entrepreneur himself. So I just loved all the questions from his session, where people then asked about the snowboarding, obviously, and then asked about his first business, and that was a single-use plastic, and then into what he's doing now with a video and content creation, social media and marketing. I was just sitting back and going, me and Johnny, we've come up with this plan for years. I think we smashed it.
Yeah, I know.
It was well executed. I was super happy. You know, once again, thanks for inviting me. It was very, very, very educational for me. I mean, I always joke on this podcast that, you know, when I have a guest, I literally write copious amount of notes every time. And this was no exception today. I wrote down so many notes or so many things. I have this life of learning mantra, and that's exactly what happened today. So it was a really, really well executed show, and I'm glad we're able to record. And, you know, once again, thanks for the invite. So there may be some people listening today that may not know who Dot Digital is and what problems that you are attempting or are solving for Shopify brands, for example. So can you kind of share, you know, maybe on a high level first, the sort of problem that you're solving?
In the UK, we are the biggest and the best of what we do is marketing automation. We do everything for everyone, whether that's e-commerce, CRM, and so on and so forth. But when we came out to the US, which is about 8 years ago now, we have a limited marketing budget. So we had to pick a niche. For us, it was like, well, what do we have in our locker that we can focus on? Because, you know, at the time, back in the day, we were up against ExactTarget. I was spending $120 million a year on marketing. No marketer hadn't been wined and dined, flown across the country to go and see a ball game or something.
Yeah.
They touched everyone. So we picked our Magento integration. Mm-hmm. Is the best out there. Lots of people know us in the Magento space because we're deeply embedded in that product. No. So we marketed to that one area. As a byproduct with the partner network you've met today, obviously Noisy Neighbours came along from Canada, now my adopted country, called Shopify.
Yeah.
And delighted to hear they're going to put 1,000 folks in Vancouver. That's great news.
Yeah.
And a massive shift happened where the agencies that would recommend to retailers what technologies to use, they used to be Magento houses, and it's like, well, you guys came along, it's like, we need to have Shopify.
Right.
And obviously the success of Shopify is phenomenal. So these guys are saying, well, you need to have as a quality integration into Magento, that you have with Magento in Shopify. So it's a natural transition. Our business has grown and scaled out here.
Right.
And therefore, it was easy for us to replicate that, and then work with those agencies that, you know, that they could now offer their retailers a choice.
Right.
Their challenge was, well, we know you're bloody good.
Yeah.
We don't want to bring someone else into the equation just because you're not on Shopify.
Right.
So that's where our real Shopify journey began, and we've been working with a number of the folks. And again, I mean, Shopify, their growth is huge. They're really cool. Mm-hmm. Lots of really cool people we knew at Magento that weren't enjoying themselves moved over to Shopify in very senior positions. So yes, that actually helped. We have a very good relationship, much better than we're probably known for, quite high executive level.
Yeah.
So in terms of going back to your question, what do we solve? In my sort of opening remarks today, I said we operate in the MarTech world. I'm a techie by trade. So we focus on the tech rather than the mar. And we were talking off the recording there about having noisy neighbours and, you know, private equity backed companies, and they focus on the MAR side. So their sales guys are incentivized to go win anything at any cost. The marketing guys are full of sort of American fist-pumping hype and vaporware, and that might be platform man people. Right. Whereas we're quite reserved and British in nature. It drives me insane at the board meetings to say we need to have a bit more of this, but our DNA is to be honest, true, and authentic. So the problem we truly solve is I had an internal strapline I used to pester the developers with, but it's got outside of the company, and I'll take it to my grave. So I say, well, we want to build NASA technology with a Fisher-Price interface. So what does that actually mean? It means taking the stuff, when a marketer or retailer comes to us and say, we want to do this, this, and this, and I've looked at these vendors, and if you have a checklist on a spreadsheet, they all say they do it. So there's no difference. When you get into the platform, and this is, again, the Shopify success maybe against Magento, is it's so simple, so easy. So it's making those difficult tasks achievable, and the stuff that you aspire to down the line, because a lot of people when they're buying technology, they say, well, I just need to do the basics now, but I really want to be doing this. So I want to buy something that's going to grow there that I don't use today and then throw away tomorrow. I mean, in our space, the way we started email, MailChimp is a huge, huge platform. I think it's a fantastic platform, very good value. It does X, Y, and Z. It shows the value in using this, but then I keep hearing I need to do more with my data, my segmentation, and all that kind of stuff. They don't do that. So it's a natural place to gravitate from that entry level to something else. But we need to make sure that we're providing as easier to use interface, as intuitive as what they've come from. I mean, there's lots of top-end people in our trade, and again, we were talking outside of recording, where technology exists that does enable you to do all sorts of fantastic stuff, but you need either a big team, or you need to pay an agency a lot of money. I was talking about you buy a Formula One car, that car, to get the performance out of that car, you need loads of sponsors, a very good driver, a pit crew, an engineering factory to get the performance out of that car. Otherwise, you end up, in our world, batching and blasting. In the Formula One world, is you're using that Ferrari drive to the superstore to pick up your groceries.
Yeah, exactly. So let's...
And thank you for sharing that, by the way. And it's good. It just gives a good context, on this interview today, because I think people just need to understand that there's been a Dot Digital journey. There's been a significant journey. Here we are today getting a full range of partners, a full range of agency partners and connections and the entrepreneurial stories and stuff today. Very, very motivational, and I'm very excited for the future for what Dot Digital is going to do. So let's talk about your individual journey. So we've talked about the problem that Dot Digital solves, and that part is clear now to me. But let's talk about the journey, like leading up to the launch. The original brand years ago was called Dot Mailer, and now, as we know, some people should know now that it's now been rebranded as Dot Digital, and the product is the Engagement Cloud. So what would you say uniquely positions you and the founding team of the former Dot Mailer and now Dot Digital? I guess number one, to have the desire to build the platform, and then number two, to have the brain power and the expertise to build it. Because here we are 20 years later and you're still thriving. So I'd like to hear that story.
Well, interestingly, our first brand wasn't Dot Mailer. We started as Ellipsis Media. So we were a web design and development company. That actually started by a collection of individuals. I was always look at Shopify and feel like I have a similar story. I was a windsurfing instructor in Greece. When it wasn't windy, I built the online website for those guys, including a booking system in mid-90s. I'm showing my age here. And the clients I worked for were saying, when you come back to London, could you build our website thingy? Because these are kind of new, and what you've done here is cool. So I had a bunch of people like the BBC. I taught them to windsurf. It was a very expensive holiday where I actually lived. And so I got back and said, I need help. This is bigger than I can do by myself. So that's how we got together. So we were a web design development company. We focused on the tech still, even back in those days. One of my co-founders, Simon, a genius techie. So we actually started building products. So we built a product called Dot Editor. It was a content management system.
Okay.
We built an e-commerce version of that called Dot Commerce. Oh. There's still people using that today.
Wow.
And then once we built them, these guys said, we need to market them. So we built Dot Mailer. Our challenge was we're just so good at tech, we were building stuff, but we had no marketing to compete. You know, Red Dot, back in the day, content management, they had hundreds of millions of dollars. You just couldn't compete. So we did a Shark Tank exercise before Shark Tank.
Oh, wow.
And that was quite interesting. They said to us, come in, and I think they charged us 10 grand. We thought it was outrageous at the time. Come in and tell us how you're going to scale your business from, I can't remember, it was a couple of million to like maybe 5-10 million or something. And it highlighted something quite interesting between the three co-founders. The techie guy really wanted to build .commerce, and or mainly .editor, and went off and did his own presentation. It made sense, no sense commercially, and the design was pretty poor. Our creative guy, creative director, looked great. He's a very good businessman, but to scale design, he was sort of saying, well, to hit the numbers I've been given, you have to box design, and he fundamentally disagrees that you should do that.
Right.
So I'd gone on holiday, I'd come back and say, guys, are we doing the presentation? It's like, I've done mine. I was like, I thought we were doing this together. So it's like, well, I'll pick .mailer, something we built, we'd kind of left on the shelf.
Yeah.
Bit of marketing, keywords and such, and came up with a sensible business plan that scaled the growth and shows the reinvestment. Right. I can't remember, was it 5 or 10 million? I doubled the number.
Right.
So everyone kind of turned around and went, well, okay, smarty pants, go do it. So it did. So over the years, you know, we obviously closed down. We had an 8-dot agency. We shut down .commerce. And it's like, you have to focus. We still, to this day, can't compete with marketing budgets with some of our North American competition. And say we focus on the tech, not the mar.
Yeah.
And we were doing that across 5 or 6 products in the end. It's like, and we're already thin. So focus is everything in my mind. You heard that message today from some of the entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So it's a .mailer, great product. It got deeper and broader. We see marketing needs change and what have you. So you need to go omni-channel. Lots of people bolt stuff onto their platforms. So we've actually built all of these other channels. And then it became, having the word mail in our name, people didn't quite believe that we could do all of those other things. And actually having the word mail, people would associate that with MailChimp and say, well, you must be at their level. And it's like, no, we're much more sophisticated. So we tossed and turned over this for several years and went, we've got to change this. There's so much brand equity. We're a publicly traded company. So when we went listed, we were the Dot Digital Group.
Right.
And all of those other Dot brands, Dot agency, Dot commerce might be sat underneath that.
Mm.
So the employees' contracts was Dot digital, the stock tickers, Dot digital, and what have you. So it became quite an easy transaction.
Yeah.
We talked about it. I remember the board meeting. I remember the guys from marketing saying, well, we can transition slowly, maybe 12 months. And we said, we're giving you 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I went, what?
Whoa.
They did it.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Everyone stopped and turned around and went, you changed your name? Why? And it's like, you know all that stuff we've been telling us?
Right.
Do you believe it now? And I went, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow. What an awesome story. Thanks so much for sharing that. It's really good to understand and kind of almost be a fly on the wall of how a brand can understand a market and make a slight pivot. And because, you know, your product was getting wider, but it's not just doing email. Was not just doing email. And I think that's the great thing about it now. And I've learned a lot today, and we're going to dig in. I got a few more questions that I'd love to ask you today, just to share about, specific problems and some tactics and things that Dot Digital is really, really, really helping a lot of Shopify brands. So let's talk about, you mentioned it briefly, but what do you believe sets Dot Digital apart from maybe other vendors in the omni-channel kind of marketing automation space?
Well, we deliberately set ourselves in the middle. We talked about the sort of the lower end providers, entry level, get you going, and then the real top sort of Ferraris. So we positioned ourselves there.
Right.
There's a stopgap. There's not many people that can do that. We actually have clients at the small end and the big end. We've got like some huge global companies. We don't advertise there.
Right.
Again, focusing the marketing budget.
Right.
We have the capabilities of allowing the small guys and the big guys, but sweet spot for marketing is there. And actually that's where a lot of, I think, the Shopify customers really fit. They're very used to having an intuitive UI. That's where we really specialize. But the reality is, I sit on numerous boards around the world, in terms of email marketing. I've been an elected member of the Email Marketing Council in the UK for decades. I judge all their awards across all their digital channels. I judge the UK Entrepreneur Awards in the US. I'm on the Email Evolution Council, which is part of the ANA, and well, it was acquired the DNA. I judge their awards and what have you. So I know a little bit about this stuff.
No doubt.
But part of that affords me that we have council meetings, and on the council is pretty much all of my competitors.
Right.
And it's a lovely industry to work in because we all get on. Obviously, every now and again we're in a pitch, and okay, that's how we've got to have our battles. We'll go to the pub afterwards.
Fair enough.
And we sit down and say, what's the biggest challenge? Like, we keep building this stuff because marketers and retailers say we need it.
Right.
And it's like, when left to their own devices, do they use it? And the answer is no. Like 10, 20%, if you're lucky, feature utilization. However, if you didn't have these features, you won't win the RFP.
Right.
So there's two sides of that. I think some technologies are sloppy and say they build something that's the bare basics. They could say, we've ticked the box. Right. If someone then tries to use that in anger, it's very, very woolly. So because we specialize in technology, we put these features in and they're good.
Right.
So it frustrates us that they don't use it. And what they need is hand-holding. So I talked earlier about platform and people. And I think as these products have got deeper and broader, they've had to because the client's requests and requirements have demanded it. And you know, to be competitive, you need to keep up. But really to get to utilization, it comes back to that Ferrari analogy.
Yeah.
If you bought this technology, we want you to get the most of it.
Right.
Do you know all the stuff we built?
Yeah.
If you use it, it makes you money.
Yeah.
And if you don't use it, it frustrates the hell out of me.
Yeah.
So platform people is really important. Like, well, there's that sort of self-serve, you could use this. And then there's quasi-account management. You know, there's competitors out there that maybe they sort of say they could give you X support. We've been doing this for 20 years. Our account directors, our strategy guys and what have you, are probably the global thought leaders in this space. So if you need to know what to do, we will push you.
Right.
You know, feature adoption, we will have regular calls with you again. We notice you're not using this. You're leaving money on the table.
Right.
So you can use it by yourself. We can do it all for you. So you can do the white glove. If you don't have the budget, we can do, a teach a man to fish. I've got a semi-self-service and say, well, this is what you should do. We'll do the first few and show you how to do it. So then you could do it yourself. And then we'll work in a different area of platform. Whatever someone's comfortable with, but I think every marketeer, every retailer, if they said all they have to do is marketing, they would be lying. They've got events to do, they've got inventory, they've got products, they've got customer support.
So
left to their own devices, they use no features, and you batch and blast, and you're no better than any spammer.
Well said. And one thing I learned today, too, that was quite interesting is you have a .digital certification program that's available now.
We have two sides to that, actually. One is as a marketer. There's lots of people that see their career and their resumes grow. They like to know that I'm an expert in this. I know how to press the buttons, I know what to do, blah, blah, blah. And then lots of our partners, we believe in quality as well rather than quantity. And if people are recommending us, they need to know everything about the platform. We are now certifying partners in North America. We're allowing them, we're training them that strategy piece to start off with. So a lot of the agencies out there, I mean, maybe Shopify is part of this. They used to probably earn $1 million a time building great big Magento sites.
Yeah.
These agencies now don't charge as much that because of the efficiencies of the technologies that Shopify provide. But they know these marketers or retailers have budget, but they don't have the expertise on the tools. So they're looking at other revenue channels. It's like, well, we will teach you how to do that, but we are not going to recommend you unless you don't. Yeah, hit the grade. And our next stage, we'll do this in a release. We will teach you how to do maybe the creative as a craft for that, getting into the inbox. We'll talk about spam off air.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll maybe teach you how to do other things like the managed service and whatever. There are lots of quality agencies out there, but this is a very specialist craft. Just because it's sort of HTML-ish doesn't mean you can suddenly just turn on the tap and say, I can do it. Because there is a fine art and a finesse of this, and we've had to learn that over 20 years sometimes the difficult way. But so the certification, we want great marketers, great retailers, and great partners really knowing the stuff that we do.
That's awesome. So let's dig a little bit into the platform itself, and what do you believe are some of the top e-commerce tools that are found inside your platform? It's called Engagement Cloud. Are you able to share some of the specifics that you believe could be very impactful for those that might make the choice to use .digital?
Well, obviously, the omni-channel story is super interesting. We specialize in email for years, and it's a great channel, and it still is as well. We were talking about the Direct Marketing Association, so for every dollar spent on email, expect $55 back. Okay. Massive sweeping average, that depending on the average value of your product.
Right.
But we've seen the shift from a very linear sales funnel to these multi-touch points. So this is where clients are just demanding, we need these omni-channel. And being global, you know, maybe that's WeChat in China. Yeah. We've been communicating by WhatsApp. There's a business version of WhatsApp. Yeah. We're on the... there's a global beta for a marketing version of WhatsApp. So there's only 20 companies on that. We're one of those.
Nice.
Their ambitions, obviously WhatsApp's been merged with Instagram and Facebook. They want to challenge the Chinese guys with WeChat, right?
Yep.
So you need engagement at all of those points. So we're believers of having our own technology for that and not just not bolting barnacles onto the core platform. And that's where you drive those engagements. And that's why we called it Engagement Cloud.
Yep.
So it's no longer marketing.
Right.
And it has to be two-way messaging. So if you use our Facebook Messenger, buy a product, send out a transaction email, here's your product, but also send it out in Facebook Messenger. Why not? Then you've opened up a two-way form of communication. As I see it, it's like, oh, shoot, I ordered the brown shoes, I went into the black shoes, or maybe I needed two pair of those shoes. I can just ping back, and I can just request that straight away. You can change that. You drive up, automatically drive up the average order value, but also give a much, much better customer experience. You give the reassurance. Maybe you also do the text and the email.
Right.
It's ultimate. We've acquired the platforms, and we put it in. It's fully integrated. That means the data layer then talks to each other. We know if you talk to us via our live chat, that information feeds into every other channel. Like we, at the moment, so the live chat has been launched.
Right.
You have live chat in there.
Right.
It's through an AI bot initially.
Right.
That then gets handed over to an agent.
Right.
So that gets the conversation happens. Our AI then looks at that conversation and says, like, we're here in Whistler. So maybe you were talking about buying a blue snowboard.
Right.
We'll understand that. We will then say, who else bought blue snowboards? Our AI magic kicks in.
Right.
And then would automatically segment you or put you in triggers and what have you for content around that type of stuff. But you can only do that if it's your technology. This bolt-on stuff is, again, it's quasi, it's box ticking. So that is genius. And then obviously there's stuff like product recommendations. That gets more sophisticated all the time with the AI and machine learning we can do. It drives up average order values. RFM modeling, so recency frequency modeling, it's like understanding and putting people in buckets and understanding what that type of bucket likes or what their interactions are, high-value people, send them this message. Perhaps those high-value people that buy regularly and frequently, they will also help drive your social media presence, your product recommendations, your reviews, and all that good stuff. Don't discount the people that haven't bought and what have you, but they need a different message. And again, if you leave people to their own devices, that segmentation data was always there, but you had to do a lot of drilling, so we just made it easy, effortless. And then all of that stuff then obviously helps you convert abandoned carts and abandoned browsers and all that kind of stuff. So every single piece of data we store, kind of our essence is like, how can we learn from that and use that as an excuse to trigger a message? Because if that a message goes out, it has an opportunity to generate a sale.
Right.
If you don't send one, because you haven't understood what your triggers or your data points are, you're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, and it's interesting about the fact that Engagement Cloud has a lot of these features built into the platform, because I find talking to brands, a lot of times they'll have an email service provider, but then they'll also add on a few other high profile, very great apps that are solving very unique problems. The challenge is, with these apps, is the fact that are they talking to each other? And I'm worried about channel spam a lot. And I have these conversations with merchants and saying, okay, push notifications is an important tactic, potentially, or text message is an important strategy, email is important, Facebook Messenger is an important strategy, all these. And there are dedicated apps, market-leading apps, that do those sorts of tactics. The challenge is having all of these apps all running at the same time, and then are they turning each other on and off through tags and through webhooks? And it can get quite challenging, to be frank.
I think there's some more fundamentals to that. If you look at all the different channels, why are there different products? So there's different channels sometimes, mm-hmm. a brand.
Right.
So especially in North America here, there is, you know, the job title I never knew existed when I was in the UK called the email director. And he has a team of people. He has a budget and he has a KPI to get the most out of that. So he goes and buys an email tool. But then there's the social team and they go and buy their social. They have different KPIs. So sometimes those budgets are at odds and sometimes those internal KPIs are at odds in terms of how do they get their annual bonus.
Right.
So then you get into all these attribution things. Now, in the world of Shopify, you've got a lot of entrepreneurs that are growing. So they have to go and buy loads of separate ones of these. So they're fighting for their internal budget. And then obviously, as I alluded to before, when you bolt all these things together, they say they integrate, but not at any real meaningful depth and breadth.
Right.
It's a tick box. And that's what you need to be very careful when you're buying technology. You know, we touched on AI.
Right.
What is AI? AI and machine learning, forget marketing, just everything. AI, intelligence might be like, my car, we go outside now, we can see out through the window, it's snowing.
Yes.
My windscreen wipers will turn on automatically. My lights will come on and it's getting dark.
Right.
That's automation.
Right.
Is that the same as a self-driving car, which is described as automation? Vast difference. So be careful of the magpie marketing, I call it. You know, don't be attracted to something silver because it's been given a good name. So things like Centime optimization.
Yes.
You reminded that when you made me bring up the conversation about Ellipsis Media. I remember being at Cambridge University. This is showing my age. It must have been nearly 20 years ago. I was on stage with one of the leading marketing guys, a guy called Dave Chaffee in the UK, and I was amazed to be stood on the stage with him, and he's now a really good mate, ironically. And we were talking about a new feature that Ellipsis Media had launched in their, I think it was even called Ellipsis Mail back in those days, called Centime Optimization. And that was, we send an email based on when each individual opened it on the time. So rather than sending all at the same time, if you open it at noon, I open it at 5, I'll send it at that. Yeah. Now, we launched that like 20 years ago. Now, we have some competitors saying, use our AI platform, which includes Centime Optimization. That's not Centime Optimization. It's very good marketing spin about an old technology.
Right.
So when, in that instance, you're buying a set of windscreen wipers where you actually thought you bought the self-driving car. So, again, that probably comes back to our Britishness. And we build really good stuff, but we don't know how to add the hype. But the value really is, going to your question, is what do we really offer is good stuff, data across all the areas. We've seen in these e-commerce ecosystems, we're seeing it with Shopify now, we saw it in Magento before, there was a plethora of choices.
Right.
So as a retailer, I have to go through an RFP and I probably have to pick between you, BigCommerce, Demandware, Magento. So I've done 4 RFPs, right? I now need to have an ERP, a marketing system, shipping system. Mm-hmm. Right, I need 10 bolt-ons.
Yep.
Am I going to do 3 RFPs? So I'm now doing 30, 40 RFPs. So Magento went through a phase where they came up with their premier partners and said, we made the decision for you. We've done the due diligence. Shopify are now doing the same, and I can't say too much. Yeah, we talked off air here. We're very close to announcing some exciting developments on that. But that is, again, driven out of there is a huge ecosystem of plugins to the main technology.
Mm-hmm.
And by nature, what is the size and scale of that business? How important is that? Mm-hmm. If it, something like marketing is really fundamental to you, who are the people behind this?
Right.
Is it two guys in a bedroom? Is it a PE firm that are just pumping and trying to dump that business and make a profit in a couple of years? They really care about you. Are they going to grow with you?
Right.
Have they got the security requirements? Because this is a way of tapping into all of your contacts. Okay, there's now a lot of data laws here in Canada, the Castle Act, GDPR, even worse. Yeah, California's just launched their stuff. That's very likely to go federal. I'm working as part of the email council in the US. There's 8 other states that are due to announce similar laws that we're having. Yeah, so that's coming. So who are you giving this stuff to? What is your due diligence? It might sound cheap. They might like the promises. We might like their magpie marketing. Do a deep dive. We can't hide anything, as you know. We talked earlier in my speech. We're a public company. So part of that comes liability. We have to have a risk committee.
Right.
So what is the biggest risk is to our business? Well, security. So we have to be externally penetrated tested. Hackers are trying to get us all day, every day. We watch them do it. Yeah. Deliverability.
Right.
Sending a load of messages, not just email, but SMS. That is an art. You need, but you also need to have deep relationships with the receivers. So your Googles, your Facebooks, your Microsofts, your Yahoos. You know, in Australia, it might be Big Pond. You know, it's different by area. Mm-hmm. That stuff doesn't happen overnight. So there's loads more challenges and risks to our business, and everything has to be externally audited.
Right.
But you could buy an app that maybe says, in a tick box, got the same features.
Right.
Have they got the same security? I mean, all those features for a start, are they as quality and sophisticated? But then all those other concerns, security and what have you, I would be terrified as a retailer to go, I've just broken this data law and I'm now subject to a fine that might cost me tens of millions. Wow, but I thought I saved a few quid by not paying this, that and the other. I got this dollar amount, it was super cheap. Are you prepared to risk that? And part of that is education. They don't know the risks that they may be facing.
And I find that too with whole opt-in compliance when it comes, you know, I know, gosh, 6 to 8 months ago, Facebook Messenger turned off the auto checkbox function that was available on some solutions. And I also see text message solutions and stuff like that and brands that are being sued because they're not being SMS compliant for their opt-in policies. And so it's great to understand that, you know, Dot Digital being a public company is following up these proper procedures to make sure that you are compliant and that, you know, and then being all on these boards and all these different organizations that you're making sure you're doing the right things for people.
You guys know that as a public company yourself, you have to have your accounts audited. You have to have, everything is under a microscope. All of our dirty washing has to be in a public domain.
Right. So what does the future look like for Dot Digital? Are you able to share some highlights or some platform innovation or anything that's planned for 2020? I always think about partner alignment. I'm at a partner conference right now. You know, end of the day, I'm just, how is Dot Digital's engagement cloud? How do you believe it's helping and can continue to help Shopify brands?
Yeah, I mean, our big platform innovation we've got going on in the background is we're rekeying our database. So it's obviously us and all our competitors, the primary key on our database is email. So to change the primary key on a database of something this important is not a small task. But the reason why we're doing that is because there's so many of these omni-channel capabilities. People are coming to us with a text message or maybe a mobile phone. They don't have the email address. I mean, that's very prominent in Asia. Yeah, you talk about email, like, what is that?
No, yeah,
so as soon as that's live, we've obviously got a lot of omni-channel capabilities. Mm. That opens up a plethora of, we talk about moving, shifting data from one channel to another, like we're already awesome at that. Super excited about that we use a lot of the Google AI stuff. We work with those guys very closely. Mm. We can then run a load of that machine learning across those channels and not depend on email. So that is super, super sexy. My product team would probably hate to say I'm telling you about that because I go, don't promise before it's out. We're super close. We've been working on that in the background for about a year. We launch stuff all the time, which is an unbelievable success, given all the engineering that's going on in the background for this.
Yeah.
So that is major exciting. And what the other part of your question was?
Well, I'm just curious about just like how you believe that Engagement Cloud, you've been very deep in the Magento ecosystem for the longest time, and now there's kind of almost a renewed vigor in the Shopify ecosystem with direct-to-consumer brands and digitally native brands. And so just curious on how your platform can help these Shopify brands.
Yeah, so the Shopify brands, as I say, I can't say too much. There will be announcements soon. Right. There will be, forget the exact terminology, but like an accredited, approved set of Shopify partners, technology partners.
Right.
Now, they're going to have to achieve certain feature and functionality capabilities, security capabilities, service capabilities. All that due diligence I talked about before that, you know, a retailer may not know they need to even do. Shopify are very aware of that, and I think they're incredibly astute to be doing this. We're working closely with them to get our accreditation. In fact, having raised the bar at Magento, we're working very close to them to set the bar.
Right.
So that would be interesting to see who else would be prepared to try and achieve that bar.
Right.
given they know the quality of their platform, then maybe the marketing hype doesn't live up to the platform, and it's like, we can't do this. And maybe we're not the right size and shape for a Shopify customer, but we did a quick integration just in case we might pick up the odd one, and there's plenty of examples of that. So I think there'll be an overall thinning of partners. I mean, it won't thin the overall picture, but those that achieve the accreditation. And that will be a significant signpost for anyone using Shopify going, hang on, Shopify, check these guys out for me. Right. It's not two guys in a bedroom. They are secure. They do offer the support, blah, blah, blah. So I can't allude too much to that because I have spoken to Shopify in the recent days. Like, could I announce it and announce stuff? And I'm like, yeah, keep it on a download. But I think as Shopify moving forward, this is very much of their mindset to do that, right, which I make a tremendous amount of sense. Our commitment, even if they set the bar higher than maybe we can currently achieve, we are 100% in to achieve it because we see Shopify as key to part of our journey. And we love the fact that a bar is being set. So that will help us and a number of other people, I'm sure, in across lots of different sectors, demonstrate the quality they have. And we're quite excited about that. But yeah, there'll be more announcements, I'm sure, in due course.
I'm looking forward to that announcement. So, thank you so much again for sitting down with me today. We are nearing the end of the show. How can people learn more about .digital's Engagement Cloud?
Well, obviously on our website, .digital.com, we actually win awards for our content. So we're on social media, regular Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. If you come to our website, we have a very good blog. We have a very good learning area resources. That's the stuff that we've won awards on. I'm very excited to say today we launched a bit of research called Hitting the Mark, and that is a report that we've done for the last 10 years. So we look at 100 brands, retail brands globally. We take sort of typically 6 to 9 months to receive all of the communications that they send us. So we act as the consumer, and we reverse engineer their strategy, what they're sending. We might put something in a shopping basket, leave it for ages. Is there a bound and browse? Take it out of the basket, put it back in. So we do all of that stuff. And then we rate everyone. We have like touch points. We have like a global panel of expert thought leaders, sort of friends in my industry, that will then rate on. We have a scoring matrix on all those points to see who's achieved stuff. Now, Hitting the Mark is the resource that people can go and download that from our website. We call out the good, the bad, and ugly. It's not all of our customers. It's not all big brands. It's some small, some medium, and large. We cover everything. We do the omni-channel piece. And if there is any of the listeners interesting, we also offer that as a service. So how would you compare against those that we've rated in our report? So if they want to go and find out, obviously all of our matrix and checklist and the stuff we're rating on, we rate it because we think it's important. So how are you doing against those important points?
I'll make sure I update the show notes with a link to that. It's a significant piece of content. I have the hard copy here in front of me, and I'm looking forward to digging into that. I will also redirect ecommercefastlane.com/.digital, and it's going to redirect to, I guess, an opportunity for listeners today if they, in fact, want to have the same sort of research done on them.
Let's point to that report so they can have a look at it, and if they're interested in feel free to reach out.
Well, Tink, thanks again for coming on the show. I'm so glad. I'm so excited. I'm going to shake your hand.
Cheers, mate.
And thank you so much. Have a great day.
Lovely. Thank you so much for your time and inviting me on.
Looking to scale your e-commerce business and implement some proven strategies to grow your brand? Don't forget about our podcast sponsor, Just Uno, the leading on-site visitor conversion platform. If you're interested in optimizing your website experience with AI-powered product recommendations, intelligent personalization, and a bunch of other amazing features to help you grow and scale, head on over to justuno.com. Don't forget about the exclusive e-commerce Fastlane discount, 15% off. Use the coupon code Fastlane15. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms. All with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.